Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Lisa Kilgore, and we are talking about mindful nutrition. We're into week three now. What do we do? What's the most important things about week three?
Week three is my favorite part. My passion as a nutritionist is to help people learn what their body wants, and this is how we do it. And so in week three, we're connecting our brain to our body and noticing and feeling how our body reacts to food. And what we tend to do is we overthink our diet. We read a book or an article and say, oh, I need to do that. And we just think it out. So instead, we want to feel it out. We want to really reconnect with what your body wants.
What do our emotions have to do with digestion?
Our emotions play a big role here, and our bodies play a big role. So when we're out of balance or when we're not listening to our body, it can throw out giant cravings. And when our brain says, no, that's not a part of our plan, they just get louder and louder and louder until you dive headfirst into a bag of marshmallows. So instead, we want to be looking at, why are we feeling hungry? Are we bored? Are we emotional? Are we hungry? And start feeling out what these body cues are.
Okay. What else goes with week three?
Week three is also understanding what hunger feels like to you. Do you feel physical hunger, which is a empty feeling in your stomach, a slight dip of energy, and a feeling like, in the next few hours, I should probably eat something. We tend to crave healthy food or complex food. Or is it a more emotional blood sugar hunger? And when that happens, it's much more demanding. It's the hangries, the angry hungries. It's the, I need to eat now. I want fast food. My energy dips. My personality changes. You might be less patient, more anxious, more depressed. And we tend to want processed food and or sweet food and or salty food. We want that craving solved immediately. So just simply understanding what hunger are you feeling and why are you feeling it that way will play a huge role in a shift in your diet. When we really work out week three, we start understanding what does our body want and why does our body want it. And then your diet balances itself out. It's really cool.
Do you suggest snacking between meals?
Sometimes. I much prefer three meals with an afternoon snack, because lunch and dinner are pretty far apart, over grazing all day. When we graze all day, a few things happen. We stress our digestive system out all the time, and we can sit with high blood sugar where we're never actually feeling hunger. And it can quiet symptoms that could tell us a lot of things. But if your energy is really low, if you've been under a lot of stress, then eating every 2 to 3 hours might be necessary for a while, because your body just can't handle the stress of bringing your blood sugar back up. So there's a time and a place for it. But as a general statement, no, I don't like snacking.
So if we feel a craving or a hunger going on in week three, do we stop and think what we might be feeling underneath that, why we're feeling it?
Absolutely. So is it, are you craving a flavor? So a lot of us crave sweet foods, and sweet is out of style. A lot of us are removing everything sweet out of our life. And when our body wants the sweet flavor, because sweet is really balancing for some people. And so if all sweet is bad, including fruit and root vegetables, then you're going to go for sweets, and eventually your body's going to win. Some people crave salt. Some people have very specific cravings, and they're the language of your body. Understanding why you crave something will start letting you know what your body is looking for, so you can find a healthy option for it. We never want to ignore cravings. We want to actually listen to them and say, okay, what is this? What does my body want?
Do you suggest a lot of journaling with your patients?
It can help a lot. It depends, though. If you food diaries with that, that you add, how are you feeling, can really show what meals are working and which ones aren't. So if you have lunch and then you check in a few hours later, see how you feel and write it down, you can start seeing patterns. I don't recommend food diaries if when you write down that food, you feel judgmental. So if you have an inner critic in your head that starts judging the food that you eat, and you say, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that, don't write it down. You don't need to do this right now. We don't want to add any more judgment in our life. But if you can write it down and just be curious about how it affects you, then food diaries can be really helpful.
Three chocolate chip cookies.
I would like to know why did you want them and how did you feel afterwards. So what happens when you ask yourself, how do you feel afterwards, is that those foods that you might love, once you start connecting them to the tiredness or the anger or the blood sugar crash that can happen afterwards, they become less powerful. And when you connect healthy food to the energy and vibrancy you feel afterwards, they become more powerful. But when we're not aware of it, we just go for what will satiate us right now. And those chocolate chip cookies are glorious. So it's about really connecting and saying, I want to eat these cookies. How do I feel later?
Okay. So is that week three wrapped up or is there more to week three?
One last thing with week three is paying attention to the emotions you feel, as you brought up earlier. And just now that you're seeing how food affects you, when are you emotionally eating and what emotions are you feeling? And that can be a part of your journal as well. And when we start recognizing that underlying emotion, it becomes a little less powerful and it allows us to seek help for it. And so many of us, especially if we've struggled with food for a long time, we'll need some help, some therapy, some cognitive behavioral therapy can really help getting at those deep, deep emotions and getting them so they're no longer playing a huge, powerful role in our life.
Can you give me an idea of how you work with them? So if you have somebody who is just goes for sweets whenever they're stressed or goes for a certain thing, how do you work with that person to change their behaviors?
Oh, that's a great question, because we want to change the behaviors is what it is. So say I have a client who loves chocolate cake, and when she's really stressed, we'll buy a chocolate cake and just wolf down the whole thing. So my first thing for her to try is to buy the cake, cut off a slice, sit at the table and enjoy every bite of it and really taste it all and let her have more if she wants it. But when it's eaten slower, you're going to eat less of it. But you're also not going to push that emotion down. So then that emotion is going to work its way up and then we can start dealing with it. I'm a nutritionist, not a counselor. So when that comes up, I also usually refer them to a professional that can help them with that emotion. But we can't usually find it until we slow down that process of overeating and let that emotion simmer back up.
So you're turning that chocolate cake into a meditation.
Exactly. The first woman I did this with, she would eat an entire bag of potato chips every night in front of the TV. And this was a big struggle for her. And she loved the chips, but she knew how much of a problem it was. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I can keep it out of my life for a little while, but I can't keep it out forever. And I said, fine, eat the potato chips, just not in front of the TV.
Turn off the TV.
So whenever she wanted them, she had to go to the dining room and sit and eat them. And in 2 weeks, she ate potato chips every night, but barely finished one bag. So instead of 14 bags, she only had one. But then asked me a very poignant question. Now that I am not over consuming this food, what do I do with the emotions? And she was one of my very first clients. She was a lovely, lovely woman. And that's when I realized I need to bring in some more professional help, because this is out of my wheelhouse as a nutritionist, but I also saw the power of this conscious eating, this mindful eating, at bringing awareness to underlying issues, because now she can deal with why she wanted those potato chips every night.
Mm-hmm. So that's just the tip of the iceberg, eating it there.
Exactly.
There's so much to learn as we dig deeper and delve into it.
Exactly.
So that's week three, the emotional ties to the food. Let's go on to week four.
So week four is an easier one too. You've gotten through the hard stuff. Now in week four, we are contemplating our buying decisions in a slightly different way. We're looking at where does our food come from? And this is where, as consumers, we have enormous power. We, by using our dollars ethically or using our dollars in a way that feels right to ourselves, we vote for or against foods and ideas and ethically grown, the way food is grown. So if you believe in organics, every time you buy organics, you are voting with your dollar to strengthen this industry. And just considering where your food comes from really plays a role, whether it's locally or what stores you're buying from. And don't underestimate your power.
No, shopping is a very powerful way to vote.
Absolutely. we don't always have the opportunity to do that, because sometimes budget-wise, there's been times in my life where I have to make budgetary decisions and that's it. I need to feed me and the people I live with, and that's all I can just do. When I have some extra money, that's when I start using it politically, and it's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in week four, what else? The meal prep comes into view now.
It does, because when we do a bit better meal prep, when we think about the food that we're buying and where we're buying it, sometimes that can increase our budget a little bit. But simply by doing a bit more meal prep or a bit more meal planning, we can bring our budget back down. Many of us, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, throw out a lot of food at the end of every week, or just due to a lack of planning, can pick up more food at restaurants and lunches. So just by, if we can cut one meal at a restaurant out, we can add $30, $40 to our budget every week. That can buy a lot of organic produce. Mm-hmm. And so just with a little bit more prep when you have time for it can make a big difference.
Lisa, just before the show we talked, you were talking about having friends make some of the meals and switching with them. So, you know, but give them three meals and you cook your favorite and give it to them. That could really save a lot of time and money as well.
It could save a ton of time, and it could also be a really
create
fun
community.
Night. Yeah. Like you could all do it. You can make your food in somebody's kitchen and you have this great like Saturday afternoon or Sunday evening. And then you also have all of these other meals. A friend of mine has done this quite a few times in Toronto, and she loves it, but then she also gets this food out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, breaking bread with many and with different people every week is really exciting. I mean, it's a great social experience.
Absolutely. And another thing you can do if you work in an office is get a group of five people and decide every day of the week, one person brings lunch for everybody. So you're only having to bring lunch once a week, but you have to bring it for five people. And that also increases the types of food you have and gives you 4 days a week where you don't have to think about food.
That's a great idea. We're going to have to implement it. So week four, what other things do we need to bring into focus?
Well, in week four is a great time to kind of look backwards at the whole month and see what did I learn? How do I feel now? What are my takeaways? Which ones do I want to make sure that really come with me? Was it chewing? Was it my ethical food choices? Was it really noticing how my body feels? And just kind of reconnect that whole month experience and really make sure that what you want to keep back into your life.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about buying local and shopping local?
I love shopping local and buying local. It's a really great way to put money back into our farmers and our community. And going to a farmer's market or shopping at stores that bring in local produce, you are directly putting money into the pockets of your community. And if we all shop local 5 to 10% of our grocery bill, we can change our industry. Right now, a lot of our industry is worldwide, are giant conglomerations. And instead, we can buy carrots from this guy who grows the carrots, and that money goes right into their pocket. And that can make a big, big difference.
Hmm. Yes, it makes a huge difference. And we're just going to have to go to another quick break. But today we have Lisa Kilgore in our second half, too. So we'll be back in a short while.